If you would please this morning turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter number 1 for a few moments this morning. I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God and certainly allow Him to do what He wants to do in our hearts and our lives here this morning. And certainly again thankful for all the good singing, wonderful testimonies, and the worship of Almighty God. Certainly again He's worthy of our worship and our adoration this morning. Matthew chapter number 1, of course, as we've been talking, we started last Sunday morning, and of course we talked about Jesus. There is something about that name. And certainly as you study the scriptures, you'll find, of course, mentioning several things about His name. We talked out of, preached Wednesday night, or tried to, out of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. And I may do that again this evening if the Lord allows, certainly talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly again continuing that thought here this morning out of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 1. I want to look at verses 18 through verse 25, and I want to look at a thought today. Certainly we see, of course, verse 23 being our text verse this morning as far as the text verse is concerned. But the thought that I want to leave with you this morning, and I'll try to get through just as quick as I can. It probably won't be no two-tank service this morning. And for you that don't know what that is, I'll explain that later when I have a little bit more time. But the thought that I want to leave with you this morning is simply this: the gift of the gospel. The gift of the gospel. Now I want you to think about that this morning as we read our text, and I want to give you three very brief thoughts today that the Lord's laid upon my heart. They're very simple, very elementary, but I want you to think about them in the sense, of course, the greatest gift that's ever been given to this world, and of course that's the gift of the gospel. And the gospel, again, certainly is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly His birth, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension to the Father, and His soon coming again, as they wonderfully sang this morning. So what a precious and wonderful gift that we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that this morning as we again read the scriptures and bring you a few brief thoughts today. Find your place in the precious Word of God. Say amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God if you're able. And certainly this morning, if you're not able, then certainly that's okay. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1, starting in verse number 18. Of course, very familiar scripture, certainly for this season as we celebrate, but certainly it doesn't get old. I want you to know that. It doesn't get old, or it doesn't to me. I'm very thankful today for the gift of the gospel. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, here's our text, God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from the dead, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And there we see again, and called his name Jesus. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we love You today, and we thank You for loving us. We thank You for the privilege and the opportunity, Father, to be back in Your house, Lord, on this beautiful Sabbath day, Lord, to, Lord, just come before You this Lord's Day, to come before You to worship You and to honor You this morning. And Lord, just today I just want to thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I want to thank You for the beautiful singing, Lord, the testimonies and the worship of Almighty God here in our presence here this morning. And Lord, I thank You for the precious Word of God. I pray now, Lord, as I stand in this place, I realize that, Father, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. So I pray right now, Father, You'd anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray that, Father, you anoint my heart, my mind, and my mouth. Lord, I bring that message that's needed, Father, for this very day. Then, Lord, I pray that hearts and ears will be open and receptive, Lord, to that which you have for us here this morning. Lord, out of all the rejoicing and all the wonderful things that has went on in our presence here this morning, in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, the saddest thing in this service today is someone here, Lord, and they've never trusted you as Savior, Lord. They don't know what it is, Father, to trust you by faith, Lord. They've never received you, Lord, into their heart and their life. Lord, I pray for the few moments that I stand, Lord, I pray again, anoint us and use us that, Lord, the Word of God might go out, and, Lord, it might prick the heart of that one that may be here today. And again, they're lost and undone without you. God, I pray, give them the courage. God, give them the faith to step forward today, Lord, and receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, the one that might be cold, indifferent. Lord, whatever the need, God, I pray, Lord, just meet the need, Lord, of every heart. And Lord, again, as we celebrate your birth, Father, I pray today, Lord, we do it in a way that bring honor and glory unto you. And Lord, that hearts and lives can forever be changed because of the wonderful gift of the gospel. Thank you again for all that you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless our time now, Father. We'll thank you and praise you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Quickly this morning, I want to look at three very simple thoughts. Again, out of these verses of Scripture are pulling our thought here out of verse number 23. And simply, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The gift of the gospel this morning. Again, the greatest gift that again has ever been given or will ever be given to this world was the gift that God gave in giving His darling Son to this world to be our Savior. The question that you and I must consider this morning is, what are we doing with the gift of the gospel that God has given unto each and every one of us here today? Now, certainly, as you think about a gift, you have the options this morning to receive a gift. You have the option to reject the gift. And certainly today, I don't believe anything any greater can be said about this great gift of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly that you have the choice to receive it or to reject it. My prayer would be this very day that if you have rejected it time and time again, that this very day that God would bring you to the place and to the understanding that certainly salvation is a gift. And the only way that you can receive a gift is just to do that very thing, is to receive the gift of the gospel, the gift of salvation. Again, the greatest gift that has ever been given. Notice here, now in the wonderful text, as we're studying about the birth of our Savior, and certainly there's a lot of different things that we could say about that this morning. But again, we've been thinking about that name. That name this morning, as we've said so many times, that is above every name. And there's something about the name of the Lord Jesus. And of course, we see it mentioned here a couple of different times now in our text this morning. But we see here in verse 23, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And I wrote this down, and I pray this morning it'll be a blessing to you. Now, it means, of course, God with us. And I thought about it, God with us. That means God's not against us today. Hallelujah, aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that God is not against us? It was God with us, and we realize that He had to come down and be born of a virgin, just like had been prophesied by the great prophet Isaiah. And certainly we see those prophecies have been filled concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He come down certainly as a babe in Bethlehem, Him being 100% man, 100% God. You say, preacher, explain all that to me. Listen, I can't. That's all in the economy of Almighty God. But to think about that God would come down to a low land of sin and sorrow for somebody like me and somebody like you, and the way this old world treats a thrice holy God this morning, but yet He was willing to come, hallelujah, and be that ultimate sacrifice that you and I could be saved
by the good grace of God. It's God, hallelujah, with us. It's not God against us. When he had every right today to be against you and I, and to be against humanity and mankind, but yet because that he loved us, and because that he wanted to redeem us, hallelujah, he sent his darling son, the only begotten son of the Father today. Friend, I'll tell you what, I cannot begin to understand all that, but I'm just so glad that God thought enough of me and thought enough of you to send his darling son, God with us, not God against us this morning. Now I also realize there's the judging hand of God, and I'm not going to get into all that this morning, but I'm so glad God with us. I thought about John 1:14, where the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. That's God with us. John testifying of the fact, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. There's somebody else that got to see him. Hallelujah. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then the writer of Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hallelujah. That's the gift of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to come and lay down his life, a sacrifice, so that you and I could have a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a gift. What a gift. What a gift this morning. The gift of the gospel today. And we see that before us here in this text today as he was born there in Bethlehem. I want to give you three quick things this morning about the gift of the gospel in God with us and not against us. The first thing that I thought about in the gift of the gospel, why would God give such a precious gift to somebody like me and somebody like you? Why would he do that today? Of course, we said because that he loved us. And we know John 3:16. We mention it often and we thank God for it. But I got three specific things that I want to talk about. First of all, I believe he gave the gift of the gospel this morning to convict mankind of our sin. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Thank God that this gospel message will convict hearts this morning of that thing which separates you and I from a thrice holy God. And that's this thing of sin. I know this morning, hallelujah, people don't want to talk about, this is Christmas, preacher. This is a giving gifts and a lighting trees and putting up all the decorations and all those kind of things. And listen, that's okay. I'm not preaching against that this morning. I'm telling you, hallelujah, it's more than all of that. Hallelujah, it's about, again, the gift of the gospel that God gave to this world when his son was born there in Bethlehem. Hallelujah, that this gospel would convict mankind of their sin and let them know that they're separated from a thrice holy God, and that we'd all sin come short of the glory of God, and we didn't have to live in that sin and that separation. All of us are guilty before God. None this morning in this building can stand before God and say that they're not guilty of sin. I understand the little babies and those that hadn't reached the age of accountability. But friend, if you've reached that age this morning that you know right from wrong and God's dealt with your heart, I want you to know you're responsible. You're responsible. You're responsible for before God today, a holy God, a righteous God. This morning, you are accountable to him today. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God, not on my word, but on the gospel. The gospel, the greatest gift that's ever been given to this world today, my friend. The gift of the gospel to convict mankind of our sin. Today, people want a relationship with God without repentance. Amen, preacher. They want to carry the name of Christian or Christianity without repentance. And I want to tell you today, friend, there'll never be no relationship with this Lord Jesus Christ that we're trying to preach about until you come to the realization that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this precious gift of the gospel today was to convict mankind of her sin. According to the Bible today, we see, first of all, and this is not new today, but I felt led of God to mention it this morning, that first of all, under certainly the gift of the gospel convicted mankind of her sin. I thought about, again, the participation of sin. Romans 3:23, as we've already said, for all is sin and come short of the glory of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background might be. I don't care how good you think you might be. I don't care this morning how much you've tried to clean yourself up. I don't care how many times that you've tried to do better. Friend, you cannot do it within yourself. I'm just so glad today that there's a word of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the gift of the gospel that let me know that I had sinned and come short of the glory of Almighty God. The gift of this gospel. You say, well, preacher, that don't sound like much of a gift. Well, I'll tell you what, it's the greatest gift ever been given. I didn't think much about it then under convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, but I want to tell you what, I praise God for it now. Hallelujah. I just didn't join the church and get baptized. Amen. Even though I thought I might could, after God put me under conviction, I thought I could try to do better. But listen, friend, I couldn't do a thing about it. I'm just so glad that God kept convicting and God kept calling and God kept drawing. I'm glad. What done that preacher? It was the preacher preaching. No, I'll tell you what, it wasn't necessarily the preacher preaching, but what he was preaching. He was preaching on the gift of the gospel, my friend. The gift of the gospel today will convict mankind of his sin, because there's a participation in sin. And that participation is all according to Romans 3:23. Not only the participation of sin, but let me move on quickly. There's the penalty of sin. According to Romans 5:23, for the wages of sin is death. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and prove that doctrine and prove that truth. God put man in perfect surroundings, put him in a perfect place, and give him one law, one rule, and he broke the one rule. I wonder how many we've broke. He said, the day you partake of it, you shall surely die. Now, he didn't die physically that day, but he died spiritually. The relationship had been severed. But even God fixed it up and began to show us a picture of the very thing that we're talking about this morning. The gift of the gospel. Being born there in Bethlehem. Talking about that seed that will come along. And he would bruise his head. And he said, now that seed will bruise your heel, will bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise his head. What's that mean? That means that God's going to take care of it. Through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to take care of the enemy. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The gift of the gospel today was given so that it would bring conviction upon mankind of our sin because of the participation of sin, because of the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death. I know I've quoted this scripture many times from this very pulpit, and if that scripture stopped there, then we'd all certainly be in trouble. But the gift of the gospel. For the wages of sin is death, but... God interjected something there. God butted in right there. God interceded right there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of the gospel. We see this morning not only the gift of the gospel in convicting mankind of our sin because of the participation and the penalty of sin, but also it brings us to the thought of the price for sin. There was a great price that was given. I know it don't excite us much anymore, but I tell you, it should, because of the price that was given to pay our sin debt. Not his sin debt, but our sin debt. We know that Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness. There is no way of getting right before Almighty God, a holy God, a just God this morning. But aren't you glad that the price for sin was the shedding of his own son's blood? precious blood, priceless blood, pure blood that he was willing to shed on Calvary. Oh, the gift of the wonderful gospel today. Oh, my, that it convicts mankind of our sin. But not only does it convict us, it doesn't leave us in our conviction. Now, think about it this morning for just a moment. If God had elected you in your convicted state and done nothing else about it. Now, I understand that we have a part to play in that, in accepting him. Yes, we have to accept him. But aren't you glad God didn't just leave it this morning with the glorious gift of the gospel? I'm glad it's not just a part of a gift or half of a gift. I'm glad, thank God, it's the full package. Hallelujah.
Because not only did he convict mankind of our sin through the gift of the gospel, but he converts mankind through the gift of his gospel.
What do you mean, preacher, converts mankind from with the gift of the gospel? He converts mankind from from their sin, from the penalty and the punishment of their sin. Why is that? Because the gospel message this morning, the gift of the gospel message, reveals the sacrifice for our sin. In other words, he took my place. Now, I don't know about you, and I've never really had, I don't know that, certainly I can look back on my life many times that somebody's took my place in doing something. Now, think about that for just a moment. How many times in your life do you have, can you remember back over your life that somebody stood in place for you? That something you needed to do or you were supposed to do or whatever the situation might be, that somebody stepped up and said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you today. I'll take your place. You don't have to worry about it. I'll tell you, I'm going to take care of it for you. Anybody in here hearing me this morning? 2,000 plus years ago, on a hill called Mount Calvary. Whoop, hallelujah. Now, if I get excited and get on this scooter and take me about 3 laps around this building, don't you worry. It'll be all right. But I've been eyeballing that scooter for 2 weeks now. Holy Ghost, get on me. I might just get on that thing and take me about 3 laps around this place. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I just about feel like I could right now. Because 2,000 plus years ago, through the gift of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was willing to do for me, he looked down through the eons of time, Brother Randy, and he sent a little old country boy back up here in the mountains of Wilkes County, lost and undone without him. And he was a sinner and he needed somebody to rescue him. He needed somebody to deliver him. And hallelujah, he looked down, Miss Debbie, through the windows of time, and he said, I'll go. I'm going to take your place. Hallelujah. You've sinned. You deserve it. You deserve the shame. You deserve the punishment. You deserve to die. But thanks be to God because of the gift of the gospel this morning. Hallelujah. He looked down and he said, little old country boy from Wilkes County, North Carolina, that don't deserve any good thing from me, I'm going to take your place. I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to shed my blood in your place. I'm going to pay a debt that you can't pay anyhow in your place. Hallelujah this morning. Thank God, church. I'm glad he was willing to take my place. So the gift of the gospel today not only convicts mankind, but it converts mankind. It points us to the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, what a gift. It converts mankind because it reveals the sacrifice for our sin. He took my place. He died so that I could live. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good gift. The gift of the gospel. Notice it convicts us of our sin, but it converts mankind from their sin. It reveals the sacrifice for our sins, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he took our place. And we see that conversion takes place by receiving him by faith. Now, I'm definitely not going to stand before you this morning and try to complicate the gift of the gospel. Lord, I'm glad he didn't make it complicated. If he'd have made it complicated, Brother Archie, I'd probably never got in. But I want you to understand something to me this morning, friend. It is a gift that is so easy and so simple to receive that even a child, according to the Scriptures, even a precious little child that comes to that age of accountability. Now, I don't know about you, but most children like gifts. I mean, if anybody in this building this morning is excited about it being Christmas, well, these little children, they're excited. I mean, we was up to school the other day. We try to get finished up 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas because there's so much excitement with those children. I mean, boy, it's hard to tell them about Jesus because they're just so excited about Christmas and excited about the gifts and all that go with Christmas. I'm telling you what, some of us middle-aged folks and some of us older folks, we ought to get excited about it too. You say, preacher, why should we get excited about it? Because there was a gift given. Hallelujah. Thank God the gift of the gospel that forever changed my life today. It's changed me. When I couldn't change myself, when I couldn't save myself, when I couldn't redeem myself, hallelujah, I got a gift on that Sunday morning that just keeps on giving, hallelujah. Praise God, I might be a two-tanker. I mean, boy, they just can't wait to get the paper tore off and find what's in that box and throw that down and go get another. I'm telling you, hallelujah, I just keep unwrapping it. And more just keeps coming forth. Hallelujah, from this gift. Hallelujah, I'm glad he don't ever quit giving today. He just keeps giving and giving and giving. Oh, my soul, I'm so glad that he changed me. Hallelujah. There's another one I can ride on around here. Nobody else ain't going to enjoy it. I will. The gift of the gospel. Not only convicted, but it converts. Because it reveals the sacrifice and the Savior for our sins. And we receive that by faith. What Christ done for us. The receiving by faith and repentance of our sin. I still believe in repentance. Jesus said himself, unless you all likewise repent, you shall perish. Friend, have you really repented of your sin? There's one thing about it today, he knows. There's a lot of talk these days about somebody that knows where you've been naughty or nice and all those things. Could I say today there really is somebody that knows whether you're naughty or nice? And I didn't know what this elf on the shelf thing was. And I heard somebody talking about it the other day. I mean, I heard people talk, and I'd even seen some of them. But I don't know if it had never just hit me or nobody hadn't told me. You know, I'm a little lacking sometimes. But somebody was talking about an elf on the shelf. And they said that put that elf on the shelf, and he was going to sit there and watch you. He's going to report back. Hello here. He's going to report back to the captain, if you will, and let him know whether you've been naughty or nice. Could I say hallelujah? There's one bigger than that. It's the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm telling you what, He's keeping good records. And thank God, I'm telling you, I wonder what He's reporting on me. I wonder what He's reporting on you. I'll tell you what, friend, we've all sinned as I said and come short. Just repent and get right with God and receive the gift of the gospel. God with us, not God against us. Notice, I didn't know I was going to get to incorporate all that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It convicts mankind of sin. It converts mankind because it reveals the sacrifice, the Savior. And there's a receiving by faith. And what that does is brings us into a right relationship with the person of Christ. This gospel, God with us, that baby that was born in Bethlehem, that Mary birthed into this world under the conception of the Holy Ghost of God, the miracle of His birth is the same one that they marched up Calvary's Hill. 33 and a half years later. And He laid down His life so that I could have a relationship with Him. That's what conversion does. It changes us. It didn't the Bible say something making us a new creation or a new creature in Christ Jesus? Now, I'm not yet what I'm going to be, and there's days that I'm not near what I need to be. And probably you not either. But I'm glad I have a relationship with Him. That's the gift. I want you to notice this morning, not only the gift of the gospel does it convict, the gift of the gospel converts. And thirdly, this morning and lastly. And man, there's so much preaching in this. I don't have time, but I want to give you this last point and I'm done. Not only does it convict and convert, but the gospel, the gift of the gospel, will consecrate mankind for service. Now, I want you to... Now, here's where it's going to tighten up on me. But that's all right. I want you to get it this morning. This gift of the gospel that God has given to this world, and for those that have received it, has been convicted and converted. God wants us to do something with this gospel. He didn't just save us for us to go out and go la-di-da-da and go back out into the world and live like we want to. Man. Well, preacher, it's not a gift. Oh, yeah, the gift of salvation, it's a gift. Man. It can't be earned. It can't be bought. But what this gift will do, it will consecrate us to the service of our Savior in getting out the gospel to the whole world. Well, preacher, I can't go to the whole world. Well, I can't either. But I can go to my part of the world that God's given me. And you can go to your part of the world that God's given you. And what this gospel message will do, the word consecrate simply means to set apart for the service of Almighty God. This book and preaching the gospel. Notice, in our Christmas story, now God just didn't look down one day and say, let's see, oh, there's a lady. She's a pretty good lady. I'll tell you what I'll do. I think I'm going to let her carry my son, birth my son into this world. And it didn't work like that. Oh, the Bible says she was highly favored. Now, I ain't real smart and don't claim to be real smart. But God chose the very one that had proven herself. Now, none of us worthy, don't misunderstand, and I'm not magnifying Mary to the place that one of the churches elevate her to. I'm not going to do that this morning because that's wrong. Mary's not to be worshipped. She was a sinner just like you and I are a sinner. But there was something special about her. I believe she had consecrated herself. Now, I realize this is before the birth of the Lord Jesus, and I understand that, and I'm not trying to get us wrong dispensationally this morning or anything like that. But I'm telling you what, she birthed the very gospel into this world, and she birthed the person of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. I want you to know something. The Bible says she was highly favored. I believe she was a young lady that loved God. I believe she knew about the true and the living God. Hallelujah. And God consecrated her she's consecrated herself, Anna, and God chose her to birth the Christ child into this world. What about Joseph? Let's think about Joseph's life for just a minute. Now, if somebody had come told me that me and Miss Drew was engaged to be married, and there's something I need to tell you. I'll be going, now, wait just a minute here. The fox has done got into the hen house. Y'all understand where I'm at? And some of you don't know what that is. I'll explain that to you after the service. But now we see that God takes care of it. He sends the angel by Joseph's way, and he lets you know, hey, son, everything's going to be all right. I've got this. Joseph could have said, some likely story. I'm out of here. Joseph stayed true to her. Joseph stayed true to Jesus. But more importantly, he stayed true to his Heavenly Father. Joseph had consecrated himself, set himself apart for the service of God. You find as you read all through the Scriptures, those that God used in a great and a mighty way was folks that was willing to consecrate themselves out. Preacher, how are we going to do that? Through the gift of the gospel. Through the gift of the gospel. I know I've got to close. It will consecrate mankind for the service of Christ. The Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. Let me give you this. And I want you to think real hard about this. Because I'm going to give you some scripture and I'm closing. Until you and I are willing to allow the power of the gospel to bring about a scriptural separation from this world. I want you to think about it. Until we allow the power of the gospel to bring about a scriptural separation from the world, we will never be effective in our responsibility and our service to Christ. There's folks that's been saved today. And thank God, I hope everybody in the building's saved. But there's some of you today that's still holding on to so much of this world that you're not allowing the power of the gospel to bring about a separation in your life to where God can use you effectively. Preacher, it doesn't really matter to me. Think about the gift of the gospel and how it's changed your life and what it's done for you. Listen, we can't earn back what God done for us, and I'm not saying that at all, but we owe Him something. Would you admit that we owe Him something? I mean, you preach on biblical separation, and I'm not talking about legalism and all those kind of things, and I ain't got time to cover all that this morning, but I'm talking about allowing the power of the gospel to bring about a consecration and a separation in your life
to where God can effectively use me and effectively use you. But I'll be honest with you. If we're not very careful, we'll allow the influence of the world. We'll allow the influence of religion. We'll allow the influence of denomination to have a greater influence on us than the power of the gospel. Amen. It's quiet now. It's all hallelujah when we was preaching about conviction and conversion. What about consecration? Do you understand that God wants to use you? Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. If you could influence one person, just one person, just one person to the gift of the gospel, would it not be worth our consecration? Because it might be your family member. But we want God to use us without consecration. We want to come to church when we want to come to church and want God to use us. Oh, I tell you what, I could, woo, hallelujah, could be some preaching here. I know some of you are getting anxious to go, so I'm going to have to let you go. But if you and I ever expect to have any influence for the cause of Christ, we'll have to allow the gospel, the power of the gospel. And you say, well, preacher, why do you say the power of the gospel? Because you can't consecrate yourself. It will take the power of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit and you and I yielding to it if we're ever going to be effective. 1 John, I'm going to read you some scripture. You don't have to turn there, but you can mark it and read it later. You know it. It's familiar to you. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Notice what it says in verse 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. Watch this next verse or next line. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The gift of the gospel. It will convict us, it will convert us, and it will consecrate us to the service of Almighty God. And at the end of the day, what greater thing could happen in our life than conviction, conversion, and consecration? That's what the gift of the gospel will do. If you're here today, lost friend, it'll convert you. I pray that you're under old-time conviction so bad this morning that you're afraid to walk out those doors. Preacher, I thought you loved me. I do. But more than that, Jesus loves you. And you know, that's what we need to get. We need old-time conviction to stir the heart of the sinner. If you'll come and receive him, he'll convert you. And then, friend, if you'll yield yourself to him, you can be consecrated, set apart for the service of Almighty God. But it's up to you. The gift is here. The gift is ready. And all you have to do is receive it. And stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scott, if you'll come with a song of invitation. What you got picked out? 368. Church hymnal. 368. Father, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you today for the precious word of God. Thank you today for the gift of the gospel. God with us, not God against us. And Lord, I don't know what the needs of every individual here today could be. Lord, all I know is my heart But Lord, I pray if there be one here in this service this morning that's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that old time conviction would fall. I pray that you're already convicting them and drawing them right now. And I pray that they might come and receive this gift of salvation, that the power of the gospel, that the gift of the gospel would convert. And then, Lord, I pray for those that might be here today. And maybe they're saved, but man, they're just holding on to the things of this world. They've not really consecrated themselves through the power of the gospel, that they could really serve you and serve you with all their heart and serve with effectiveness. That we could take the gift of the gospel to those around us. I pray, Lord, speak to our hearts, and I pray that we'd be obedient. And we pray this in that name that is above every name. There is something about this name of Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as it plays softly before